unyumanyinara, unyumanyinara, dawasi asafo Yehowa, udimuna
Jesus, that we win victories as believers. That is what song says. We are victorious in your name. And Lord, we are grateful for the provision of your name by which we win our battles. It's our prayer that today as we go through the word of God, you gain understanding and deep insight into his truths, that as servants or ministers of God, we would walk by his ways and his precepts and then get the results that he wants us to get, for others to see the light of God shine through us. Amen.
Amen.
We've been looking at benefits of walking with God, and today we are on benefits of walking with God 3. Benefits of walking with God 3, and today we are looking at divine provision. Please remember that in part 1, we looked at revelation as a benefit, divine revelation as a benefit. When we fear God, he reveals his secrets to us. And we saw that in Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear. Please say after me, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him.
The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you walk with God in fear, when you give all reverence to God and you make him the center of your life, walking with God, he reveals deep things to you. Sometimes you have dreams, he reveals things about the nation, even things before things happen. Sometimes the lives of your friends or in your own life, he reveals them to you. And he directs you as to what to do or what prayer to pray. We'll also look at benefits of walking with God too, which was fulfilled days. And from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33, that you may live long and it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land in which ye shall possess. And before that he said, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. So there are benefits when you walk with God, and fulfilled days is one of them. You will not die before your time because you walk with God. Amen.
Amen.
And today we are looking at divine provision. Our first point today is that God owns everything. Please say after me, God owns everything.
God owns everything.
In Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So regardless of whatever is happening on the earth, there is an owner. He may be quiet. It may seem sometimes that wickedness is ruling. Or like Satan came to Jesus and he was boasting that he could give Jesus all the cities in terms of influence, control. Yes, he boasts as the prince of the air. He boasts as the God of the world. He boasts as of the fallen world. He boasts about these things. But there is an owner who, though he may be quiet, yet silently behind it all, He owns everything. And at the day of reckoning, he will take it all back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Scripture makes us understand that it is God who has given the earth to man to become the inhabitants of man. The heavens are his dwelling place, and where is his footstool? The earth. The heavens are his dwelling place. The earth is his footstool. He owns it all. And here in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, their wealth. That's the system, the government, and all that Satan sometimes boasts about. Sometimes you see politicians stamp on their chest, I'll do this, I'll do that, because of satanic power. And yet God says that it is all mine, all of them, not just the earth, but all that dwell upon the earth is his. And so we ought to be careful in our walk with God. In Psalm 50, verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. You know, sometimes people put tags on their cattle, whether it is Ukwentumi Industries, then they'll put a tag on the cow. So, or sometimes they'll mark it with something. Human beings mark animals to the point that even slaves, they were marking slaves, putting the mark of their companies on slaves. But beyond all these things that man thinks that he can do, a slave master even dies one day. No matter how many cattle you have, if you are like Sun Diata or the richest man in ever, whoever you think you are, one day God will show you that, yes, he is the owner of it all. You will die like a mere man and live. And you realize that, oh, so it is all fleeting and you can't lay hold on it. You can only do what God has given you the grace to do. So you can't boast. Nobody can boast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God, say after me, God owns it all.
God owns it all.
The cattle upon, he didn't say a thousand cattle. He said the cattle upon a thousand hills. So whether it's Shai Hills, Everest Hills, count them. All across the world, if you see one goat on it, you may think that it belongs to Kwame, but please, it belongs to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today you can have a Bentley and it may be registered in your name, or you can have a beautiful Civic. You can even name the car with another name, my baby. You are calling your car my baby. But one day it will no longer be your name. Those who boast, as for my wife, she's the prettiest woman that has ever lived. One day, God will show you that no man owns anything. He owns it all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to salute God all the time. He's the chief owner of it all. Amen.
Amen.
God provides for his children. That is our second point. God provides for his children. In Psalm 23, verse 1, it's a powerful statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one who provides. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 to 33, I'll be glad if we can all read together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 to 33. Let's read together.
Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?
Okay, wait. It says the fowls of the air, the birds that we see, they don't do Ghana Stock Exchange. Like, they don't buy shares. They don't do trading. What do they call that thing?
Forex trade.
Forex. They don't do Forex. They don't go about any serious planning that we are gathering against hunger tomorrow. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Let's continue to read in verse 27.
Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?
Okay. 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? What is raiment? Clothes, right? Continue.
Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow.
they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Sometimes we see the roses in the field, flowers. Maybe lately people don't really do a lot of flowers, like, you know, horticulture stuff. But years ago, you see it's like competition in front of every house. Nice flowers, center flowers, different colors, blue, indigo, you know, orange. Nice. That's right now, I don't even know where you see roses around. It's very, very sad. But those days, you enter a house, you see roses here, lilies there, this there, this there. I don't know what we are replacing. Now you rather see CCTV in houses. God help us.
Amen.
God help us. And then the nice smell, you can't even replace that with perfume, human perfume. Very, very, very nice. And God is the one who provides these things. It's not even talking about the lilies in our homes. The lilies in the fields. Very, very nice. And they are nicer than what you are paying that expensive dressmaker to make for you. You are going for program. Then you dress. Shepherd. Everywhere. It's better we move on. Because it's sometimes difficult. Look at the amount of money we can spend on dresses because of one musical concert. And God is telling us that when he is in control, the beauty that he brings to the scene is beyond all your human imagination that you can do when it comes to designing dresses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God owns it all, including the lilies of the field. If he's beautifying the lilies, who don't work for him, you will beautify your life in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And it's compared to even Solomon. And we know that the Queen of Sheba came to see the glory of Solomon. And Jesus is saying that even Solomon's glory can be compared to the wonders of God in places that man is not even involved. Amen.
Amen.
That should put us in fear and make us know that without us, God will do what we do. So when he uses us, it's a privilege, and we have to treat him with utmost respect in our walk with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith thou shall we be clothed? For all these things do who seek?
The Gentiles.
For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did he say we should ask for these things?
No.
And I was shocked that I couldn't find anywhere that Jesus was saying that we should be asking for these things. And we wrongly apply where the seek and ask and it shall be given, seek and it shall find. We wrongly apply it. We see where it is rightly applied. So to have access to things, you must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our third point, God uses lack to humble his children. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, it says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness? Talking about the children of Israel. Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might what?
Humble thee,
and that he might prove to thee, to do thee at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and thy might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. So God passed them through places of drought, through the wilderness, where there were dangerous animals, but the animals couldn't harm them. Where there was no water, but he brought water out of the rock for them. Where there was no food, yet he caused manna to drop from the sky and birds to bring them meat. He wanted them to see that he was their provider. that as long as they were walking with him in the wilderness, he would provide for them. God is our provider. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In our day, we easily forget that every day is a miracle. Every day, God is the one who keeps providing for us. Because we feel that we get up, we go to work, and oh, we get a salary at the end of the week or at the end of the month. We have a certain sense of entitlement, thinking that it is by our hand, it is by our own strength that we do these things. But today we must remember that God is the one who provides. We only show up, but as we walk with him, he finds avenues to provide for us.
Amen.
It's very, very important that we keep this in mind. Every day is a miracle. Say after me, every day is a miracle.
Every day is a miracle.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
As to how God provides for us, he knows. Because I know that when you sit down, there are so many of us, when you sit down, you calculate, you realize that at the end of the day, it is not your salary which sustains you wholly. That God brings, he just brings the resources. He provides. It is God who has the power to open doors where you least expect it. And until we move, we shift our dependence from things and from men, and we put our focus on God, God will keep us in lack. He uses lack to humble his children. The unbelievers, don't envy them, because the enemy, today he may be feeding you, but tomorrow he will be consuming you. He may give you all the so-called nice things, but tomorrow he will just consume you, because his vision statement is to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he's giving somebody something, he's not a creator. He's only stealing it from somewhere and giving it to you temporarily. And at the right time, or his time, he is going to take it again from you, and he's just turning, passing it from here to there, and then at the end of the day, he destroys you. But God is the one who is able to create rivers in the desert. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he is a creator. He can manufacture a husband for you. The enemy will steal someone's and give it to you, and then steal it again, move it there, and then just be destroyed everywhere. But God is the one who can manufacture. He manufactured a baby called Samuel for a woman who was barren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So you turn your dependency upon God. You look up to him, because he is the ultimate provider. Say after me, he is the ultimate provider.
He is the ultimate provider.
God is the ultimate provider. It's not your boss. It's not your mother. It's not your father. It's not your boyfriend who gave you that gift. It's not. God is the ultimate provider. He may be providing through avenues, different places, but he is the ultimate provider. And if God says, I will humble you, the way he'll dry up all the resources for you to come back bowing before him and saluting him as king, and asking that, Lord, have mercy upon me. Today, if you haven't given your life to Christ, I submit to you, our maker, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who can cause a spring to come out of a hard rock. If you turn to him today by asking his son, Jesus Christ, to come into your heart, your life will turn around. You don't have to chase after things. He will make things happen for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. Without you, I cannot save myself. Therefore, I ask you to come into my heart, be Lord and Master over my life from now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, more. Now I adore so. Yes, more. Now I adore so. Titi,
If you just gave your life to Christ, kindly contact us via email info@glowmusicministry.com or call or chat with us through 026-000-9090. God bless you.
Amen. Shall we share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. We'll meet again at 12 p.m. prompt tomorrow. Shalom.